Good afternoon, Coochie Gang. I'm back at y'all with the second of two episodes for January over here at the monthly. You know, this is the podcast that advocates for women's reproductive health, reproductive justice, period health, and the like. So today, episode 8, which I got a lot of good feedback on. Shout out to my TikTok Coochie Gang. Got a lot of feedback on sex in the period. That was a very eye-opening episode, an eye-opening topic just in general. I got a lot of different views and opinions about, you know, how women feel about having sex on their period and if they've done it and if they haven't done it. A lot of feedback. So I just wanted to thank the Coochie Gang for that, for being able to give me a little more insight on what they feel about it. And I feel like it's a perfect segue into the current episode, which is the ovulation station. We talk all about ovulation today. I know that a lot of my Coochie Gang members are mothers or mothers-to-be or have experienced, you know, that pregnancy scare or, you know, just out of curiosity, where am I in this process, even if I wanted to get pregnant? Well, today we're going to expound a little bit more on that and talk about, again, ovulating in the ovulation station, baby. So for a general definition of what ovulation is, whether you know or not, or familiar with it or not, ovulation is basically when the egg is released from the ovary. Usually happens in day 14 of the 28-day cycle, menstrual cycle, like that. And it's when the egg releases from the ovary, goes and hangs out in the fallopian tube for about 24 hours. This is the generalized, again, everybody's body is different. Y'all know I say this damn near every episode. But hangs out in the fallopian tube for about 24 hours to see if some sperm is going to pull up, fertilize, or not. And if it doesn't, typically it reabsorbs back into the body. You have your regular menstrual cycle. And then, of course, your body gears back up for the next 28-day cycle and once that egg reabsorbs. But there's an asterisk to that, and I will explain a little bit later in the episode, but yeah, there's an asterisk to that. As far as symptoms, like, I can't really call them symptoms, like, or identify them as their own symptoms because it's given PMS, and everybody knows how they feel when they're PMSing. You know, you pretty much have the common symptoms, which are increased appetite or just finicky appetite, mood swings, tender breasts, you know, everything that comes with PMSing, whether you know what I'm saying? It's just like spotting, you know, all of the things that we see as normalcy in PMSing because we know our period is on the way. Ovulation, I feel like they're one and the same. That's just my opinion, but that's pretty much what ovulation is. And while waiting on your period to come, especially if you're a woman that doesn't have an irregular period and you expect your body to react a certain way every month when your period is about to come, these are the type of symptoms you're used to. So, of course, you're going to normally associate them with just PMS, but it's actually you ovulating as well. Basically, when I said there was an asterisk to the egg reabsorbing after that 24 hours, just because that egg absorbed after that 24 hours, sperm hangs out in your uterus from 3 to 5 days. And that can happen like anywhere from up to five days before ovulation. And one day after ovulation is complete, sperm can hang out. So, does not mean you're out of the woods just because, oh, no eggs bit this go around, because that means nothing. So, of course, if you're not ready, go ahead and make sure you're all the way protected when you are, you know, having intercourse, because there's still a likely possibility that you can get pregnant while ovulating. I mean, that's what the majority of women that I know associate with ovulation anyway. oh, I need to see if I'm ovulating because, you know, me and my hubby are ready or whatever. We want to do the IVF, me and my lady. And, you know, those are things that the majority of women do look out for. So, yes, just know that you can get pregnant in ovulation, even though a egg or a few of your eggs have reabsorbed back into the body. There is a pain associated with ovulating called Mifflinschmerz. And it can either feel like fluttering butterflies in your pelvic area, in your lower abdomen, or it can feel like a hot knife stabbing. I've personally experienced both with my PCOS and my endometriosis. Again, that's why I said I never really cared about when I ovulated or if I was ovulating, because my periods were so irregular. I knew around the general time my period tend to come every month. However, stress could trigger that for me. Overeating the same type of foods could trigger that for me and switch my whole shit up. So Mifflinschmerz for me was a wide range of pain and then, you know, not so much pain and pain. But there is pain that they associate with ovulating. Basically, when that type of pain happens in the lower abdomen, when the egg releases from the follicle or sac, or it like bursts from the follicle, you know, or that sac, it tends to give you, you know, that type of fluttering or that type of pain in your lower belly. And so you're either going to be like, ah, I don't know what this is, or is my period on the way, or ah, I'm ovulating. Like, some women are in tune with their body that much, they know when they're ovulating, or they can really, like, you know, pin down exactly when, which is something we will also touch on a little later in the episode. If you are not ovulating and you're used to your body ovulating and something's off, it could be a wide range of things. It could be good things or normal things like breastfeeding because you just gave birth, or you just entered the change of life, so you're in menopause. Those are two, like, more milder scale reasons why you wouldn't be ovulating. And then, you know, if you are still in childbearing age, it could prove you may have an underlying reproductive condition that you don't know about, or an extreme ovarian insufficiency or deficiency somewhere in there. And with that, whatever side of the tape you're on, I always advise, please go and speak with your healthcare provider. Please consult a healthcare professional or consult your holistic PCP, whatever the case may be. This is why I say, you know, you may not ever say it to your homegirl, your best friend, or anything, but, and I know it's, you know, riding the fence because doctors can be so weird with us when we go in and we talk about our bodies, but the ball is in their court. Once you let them know, and if you don't feel like you're getting the maximum out of what you're asking or what you're seeking out, always get a second opinion. You know your body better than anybody else, next to the Most High, your creator, or whatever you worship. You know your body. Can't nobody tell you about your body. So just always make sure you in tune with it. When you send something off, it's off. Especially if you are truly a person that is one with your body. You know when shit is off, if something is off. So just always make sure you are found finding out the clues and finding out the answers and the solutions to the problem if you do indeed have an issue. Bonus, with ovulating and birth control, typically, and the reason why I keep saying typically, because the body is an amazing place. It is a peculiar place, and anything can happen. But typically, while using birth control, whether it be the pill and you're ingesting it, whether you have a Mirena, the IUD, you know, inside your uterus, whatever, the patch, whatever it is that you use, typically you're not supposed to ovulate. Because ovulation is the act of an egg being released from the ovary and fertilized, when you're on birth control, most types of birth control, it is designed to make your ovaries go to sleep, rest. That way they're not active, they're not really functioning. So if your ovaries are dormant and you're not on birth control, really go see your doctor. But if your ovaries are dormant and sleeping and it is due to you being on birth control, don't expect to ovulate. Don't expect to ovulate. Your body or your, not your body so much. Well, yeah, your body, but your reproductive system per se is resting. I've been on, you guys, if you are subscribed to my YouTube, you see me do my birth control journey every month. And like the first 3 months when I started taking it, I had a 12-week journal that I did on medium.com. That first 3 months I did a 12-week journal on how my body changed. Because I had not had birth control since the age of what, like, or my early 20s. So, and that was the depot shot, like the little, you know, shot. This is a pill. So it was a different form for me. And I'm older. I'm over 30. And so I did that journal to chronicleize what my body took me through when I started back on. And I started it last May, and it's almost been a year. And I have been period free since that time. So I know my ovaries are snoring. Okay, for sure. I know my ovaries are snoring. Reason being is because the mucus has thickened in the cervical lining, which makes it hard for sperm to travel through the fallopian tube, for sperm to swim, period, because your cervical, your uterine lining is so thick. Because you're on birth control, because we, as we know, when your menstrual cycle comes, it's the uterine lining, the cervical lining thinning. So cervix not doing none of that. Ovaries not doing none of that. Pelvis, uterus is not doing none of that. If you are on contraceptive birth control, IUD, pill, patch, however. So like I said, that typically is not supposed to happen. But it does happen. And this is why I say it's always important to talk to your doctor. Because your body can switch up. Your body can be an op. And for those who don't know what an op is, that is a person that does not have your better interest in your heart. Your body can play tricks on you, and your mind can as well. So just always be on the lookout. And that's why it's good to be in tune with your body, regardless of what you got going on or whatever you do or don't do. So if you didn't know about ovulation before this episode, I'm pretty sure you're wondering, well, how do I know? If I'm not on, you know, I'm not on any birth control, I don't have any underlying jewel, but I don't really know when I ovulate. How do I know if I'm ovulating? There are a few different ways. The most common ways are period tracking, your old-fashioned calendar or planner. You're writing in that every month, okay, my period is on the 17th of every month. And then there's like your digital period tracking on your phone. Of course, you know, you could do it that way. I, for one, oppose period trackers on the phone. That's another subject and topic for another day. But those are like the most common ways ladies do this. They go into their calendar, they write it down. They go into their planner, they write it down. Or it's digital. They do it on an app. They do it on their phone calendar and the like. Another way ladies tend to see if they're ovulating, is literally checking your mucus. And mucus meaning discharge. When your panties show a certain color, give off a certain smell in your cooch, your vajayjay area, the consistencies change. There's levels to that. So like day 1 through 6, I believe, is considered like dry and sticky. Day 7 through 9 is like a more creamier, substance, like, you know, consistency, if you will. And then there's like the wet and clear version through like 10 and 12 leading right up into ovulation. And then it shows like that, like whitish, you know, pearl egg whitish color because you're about to ovulate. Everything's thickening or thinning out. So your discharge can change. I will provide a link from the Cleveland Clinic out of, I believe it's Beechwood, Ohio. I will include a link in the descriptions on my audio platforms and, of course, my YouTube. So that way you can go check this out. There's like a pictorial graph and a visual representation of checking your mucus and the colors and things like that. And then, of course, there's an accompanying facts and articles with that. Another way that I've heard of and just seen in general women determine if their ovulation is actual ovulation kits. It is a luteinizing hormone. It's almost similar to a pregnancy test. It's like a litmus little strip or what do you call them? There's a name for that. What is it? An indicator strip. There you go. You put it on an indicator strip or you tinkle on an indicator strip, and that strip is supposed to really, you know, grab all of your luteinizing hormones to see what level you're at in your ovulation cycle. So again, there are several different ways that you can determine if you're ovulating. And of course, big thing, always important, if you don't know, don't sit not being in the know. Go consult your healthcare provider, your healthcare professional, PCP, holistic professional, OBGYN. Go and consult them. Don't just sit and wonder why, and you know this is not something that your body does, you know what I'm saying, on a normal basis. Just be careful. Just be careful. Like I said, being in tune with your body is extremely important. It's extremely important. And ovulation is, in my opinion, a pipeline to being able to reproduce life or save your life. That's just the bottom line of that. As always, I appreciate y'all watching these. I can't believe I'm saying this is episode 9. We are almost a year into this, y'all. It's been I've spent 9 months with you guys being able to spread love and spread positivity and general information on the things that they try to keep taboo with women in our bodies. And we deserve to know. We deserve to stay in the know, you know, because medicine, healthcare, all of that is ever changing. And if you're not educating yourself, or you don't have the proper resources or the proper people around you to aid you in that, then you out the loop. And so I just appreciate y'all for allowing me, or and y'all coming back to view my videos, view my shows, go on my TikTok, all that. I appreciate y'all for actually being invested in the positivity I'm trying to spread with this. If I just wanted to help myself, I wouldn't be doing all of this. And so this is not about me. This is about my ladies. This is about my coochie gang. This is about my young women and my older women as well. I'm getting into menopause and things of that nature a little bit more extensively in season 2. And so I just appreciate my following. I appreciate y'all so much. Y'all know how to reach out to me on my socials, my email, all of that stuff. You know where to find episodes and everything else. I don't have to tell you. And if I do have to tell you, I always have that information ready for you. So thank all of y'all so much for just paying attention to little old me. I'm going to mention it every episode up until the episode, which will be episode 12, Coochie Talks Live Women's Symposium. It is a live podcast event, y'all. Will be held in Dallas, Texas. My birthday weekend, and also the birthday weekend of the monthly. The monthly will be 1 year old as I turn a different age. So this is a milestone birthday for me. I'll be 35 years old, and I would love for y'all to come out and join me. My really good friend Shariah Montalongo with Urban Legends will be a panelist. My very good friend Kenya Walker birth doula. Both of them have been on the show. We just had a meeting yesterday, another meeting of the minds, getting ready for this event. We are all so excited to see you guys. I will also provide that Eventbrite ticket link to purchase tickets in the description as well if you are interested in coming. And one more very important thing. Next month is Black History Month. I always let you guys know, and I mean this from my core. My platform is for all women. My coochie gang is my coochie gang. Y'all come from all races, places, and spaces. And I love you all equally, irrevocably, and unconditionally. But, and my non-women of color know this just like my women of color do. Black women are the priority race to pass away before, during, after childbirth, be misdiagnosed with a reproductive condition and or cancers. And we are the most endangered when it comes to this. And so in the joy of Black History Month next month, I'm going to petition my coochie gang women of color. I am opening up the floor to submissions, whether you're speaking on a condition you may have, speaking on a pregnancy, or, you know, you having babies, the beautiful parts of it, the ugly parts of it. I want you guys to be as expressive as you can. I am looking for video submissions of up to 30 seconds for women to come and be able to express themselves so that we can continue to spread awareness for all women. I just want to be able to shed light on my Black and my brown people and my people of color, because again, we are the most endangered in these hospitals with these healthcare professionals being able to just stay alive with our bodies. If you have not, I pray that it's still on Hulu. Aftershock is a very great documentary that details and chronicles two gentlemen who both lost their partners either in childbirth or right after childbirth because of medical neglect and misdiagnosis, not wanting to test a woman or, I don't think you should have this baby naturally, so let's just do the C-section. That documentary is the perfect thing to watch. And then just do your own research. But to my women of color, next month, I need you guys. I will also be talking about this on all my socials. So if you don't get to catch this episode, just pay attention, because I'm going to probably take about 10 to 15 submissions from my Black and brown women of color, members of the Coochie Gang. I need y'all this month. This month is all about y'all. This is all about us celebrating Black, being Black. And so next month is all about y'all. February is all about y'all. And so I'm going to need y'all next month for this episode. And it's going to be a beautiful episode just like the previous nine. So as always, Coochie Gang, I love y'all. Continue to govern and guard your bodies. Love on yourselves. Give yourselves grace. And take time out for yourself today. It's been your girl, Chris. I'll see y'all later.